Matthew chapter number 2. This is a story of the wise men that came seeking Jesus and part of the Christmas story. And we're going to begin in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 2. At the right time, at the best time, he came. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. And Lord, thank you for the Christmas story. And Lord, as we enter into December, and we kind of put the spotlight on Christ and his coming to earth and celebrate the birth of our Savior, I pray that you'll warm our hearts with this, Lord. He came and was born in a manger, in a barn, and was laid in a manger, but Lord, he certainly didn't stay there. We're so glad for what Jesus came to do, die for the sins of all mankind so that we may have eternal life. And I pray that Jesus, that you're happy this morning, and I pray that you're exalted and lifted up and glorified as we should. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. You know, when I was a young man, there were two words that when they were spoken by anybody, friends, sometimes the church here would mention something, they always resulted in all of us guys getting really super excited. And several of them would probably yell out something like, "Let's go! Let's go!" And say, "Preacher, what's the two words?" "Road trip." Road trip. Road trip. I've been on some pretty epic road trips in my life. I like traveling. I like going from time to time different places. In Bible college, we were very busy, very occupied, not a lot of time for traveling, obviously. But I did have a friend that wanted me and three other guys to stand up with him in his wedding. And it was during college, Christmas break, and so we were able to get a night off work, and we finished up what we needed to do at college that day, literally got in a car and drove nonstop. Come on, the days when I could do this, nonstop from northern Indiana all the way to Louisiana. We only stopped for gas, and we lived off, you know, gas station junk food pretty much, you know. Got there about 3 o'clock in the morning at his mom's house. They took us down the basement. We crashed on the floor back in the days when I could do that also. And got up the next morning, didn't make it to the rehearsal, was told where to stand and what to put on, and watched this man kiss the bride, and went to about 10 minutes of the rehearsal and jumped back in the car and drove from Louisiana all the way to northern Indiana. But we didn't care, because you know what? Road trip! We were going somewhere. I remember flying out to Maryland when mom and dad lived there, and I flew out there. But my younger brother David was going to come back to Indiana with me. And out there, he found a 1963 VW Volkswagen Beetle. You know, the bug, the slug bug. 1963. It was in the dead of winter, Christmas time. We had to drive over the mountains. It was freezing out there. And I don't know if anybody's had ever a old VW bug, okay? You know the heater system. I don't know. I agree 100%. I don't even think they'd exist. The theory is that somehow the heat of the engine is supposed to find its way into the cab somehow, but we never did find it. And I mean this, we were freezing. We literally were wrapped in blankets. I had blankets wrapped all the way around my legs, and it was a manual, and just enough on my feet to shift gears. And then my feet would get so cold that we'd have to stop about every hour, find a gas station. We'd walk in, we'd start stomping, we'd drink coffee, and we'd try to warm up, and we'd get in that stupid VW and go about another hour and a half, find a gas station. Road trip, we didn't care, road trip. Come on, road trip, we're going. So, you know, remember those days? Brother Eden was just telling me before church about him and a handful of guys, and all of a sudden, you know what, they planned this and jumped in a vehicle and headed all the way this past week to South Dakota and shot up some pheasants and threw them back and road trip. And we had a good time, road trip. And I was looking at the calendar, by the way, and when I was a teenager here at the church, I always liked it when a dad would plan trips for us, the teens, to go somewhere. And Brother Jack, Sister Penny loaded teenagers up, I don't know how many times, and we went this way and went that way, and all those trips down to Tennessee. And you know what? It was exciting because we were going somewhere. We were going to see some things maybe we never saw before. We were going to travel. And really, we didn't care that much about conveniences and all of that. Now, my travel is much different. I believe that roughing it is a Holiday Inn Express, okay? I'm just telling you. And so my idea of the fun of a road trip has changed quite a bit. To this day, honestly, I love to travel the roadways of America. Here in our text, we read about some wise men who took a road trip. This trip was not, by the way, it wasn't their idea, it was God's idea. It was not in their plans, but it was part of God's plan for their life. It may not have even been their desire, but by the way, you know what, it ended up being part of their destiny. By the way, I checked this out. They traveled over 900 miles to Bethlehem one way. That's over 1,800 miles round trip. And folks, they didn't have the interstates. And think about that. If they took the trip by camel, and we're not sure, but probably, it's estimated it would have taken them about 40 days to get to their destination. By the way, that's an 80-day round trip. Since they took a longer way home to avoid Jerusalem, they were likely gone from home over 3 months, and this was during the time, folks, when travel was not only difficult, but very dangerous. They risked much, but deemed it worthwhile, think about this, because of whom they sought. Because of the historic and spiritual significance of this story, this may well have been one of the greatest road trips that was ever taken. And I began to study just the trip itself, the road trip that they took, and what the Bible tells us about it. And I felt like the Lord was teaching me some things about life, because, folks, I think life is very much like a road trip. It started the day you were born, it will end on the day of your death. By the way, at the end of your life's road trip, if you're a Christian, you'll finally be home. Think about that. One man said this, life is a journey, not a destination. By the way, I agree somewhat about that, but I also am glad at the end of our journey, there is a destination. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, after we get done with this road trip of life, it's sure nice to know that we'll finally be home. As I read and meditated on the story of the wise man, God kind of gave me some, I think, just life lessons that I wrote down, and it's helped me as I'm beginning to look into a new year and the rest of whatever is left of my road trip, and I hope these truths will help you also. Let's look into the scriptures and get some help as each of us take, by the way, you're on the greatest road trip ever. You're on the journey of life. Now, let me just look into the scriptures and show you some things that I found. Verse number one. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, notice their question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? You know what made this the greatest road trip of their lives? It's because, number one, they sought a person instead of a place. They sought a person instead of a place. Now think about that. Let me get you moment to wrap your heads around. Are you listening? Are you with me? Are you focused in? Are you seeking a place or are you seeking a person on your road trip of life? The people who most successfully live their lives understand that this journey, folks, is not about a place. It's not about a destination. It truly is about a person. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Paul understood this, and boy, did he have an amazing life. Read the story in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul and all that he did. But folks, he wasn't seeking for the next port. He just was seeking Christ-likeness. Notice what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Please listen to me, folks. If we're focused on our life's road trip, if we're focused on Christ's likeness, of seeking Christ, of following Christ, listen, of trying to be like Jesus Christ, you know what? It's going to make our road trip that much more amazing. Think of what he accomplished in just 3 short years here on earth, folks. As far as what we would say is his ministry, his recorded ministry. What a life he lived. And you know what? I believe the more that you live like Jesus, the more you're doing this thing right. And so think about that. I know it's been said for decades, folks, but I believe this. Wise men still seek him. Let your life be about a person. Come on, not a place, not a list of accomplishments, but let it be centered around a person. If we could all just decide to seek Christ's presence before we seek anything else, seek Christ's approval before we worry about what men think, seek Christ's favor, make Christ's likeness your goal. Yes, you're on a journey and you will be going some places, but folks, you won't be going alone because you'll have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his impact upon your life to make a difference in the life of others. So they sought a person instead of a place. Number two, they were given a direction. This is important. They were given a direction instead of a map. Very interesting what the Bible says. Verse 2 here, it says, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. By the way, we'll say this in a minute, but they actually had to stop and ask for some information and ask for some direction. You know, God didn't give them a map that he laid out every step and every stop and every place. Now, let me just show you what Pastor Jerry Ross takes every time I take a road trip. You say, preacher, there's technology. You go ahead and have your technology. I'll have my atlas. You young people, look at this. I bought it at an antique shop. I want you all to see this. This is called an atlas. And when I used to plan trips for our family vacation, oh, my daughters didn't like it because I didn't plan a trip. I planned a military excursion. I had when we were going to stop and how long we were going to sleep and where we were going to get to next. And because I thought if you're going somewhere, we might as well see everything we possibly can. And I was having the time of my life. My wife and children were miserable, but bless God, we accomplished the goals and we got to the places. And then I learned a different way, probably the best way you could ever take a vacation, is say, okay, which way are we going? Let's go that way. And then let's wake up the next morning. I took a trip here in the 2-year anniversary of my diagnosis with cancer. I went to a very understanding wife and a very generous wife. And I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. And she said, what? I said, I've always talked about going out west on a motorcycle, and I got a buddy out there I want to stop and see, and then I want to get up in the mountains and just ride through the mountains and meander home. I was gone for 16 days, 4,000 miles on a motorcycle. And the coolest thing was I did want to see my buddy in Colorado Springs, but besides that, I didn't have a destination. I would literally get up every morning and open the – listen, I'm going to teach you a life lesson here. Are you listening? I mean, you know what God said? Go that way. Well, Lord, where? Well, I'll show you. Folks, you realize that the Christian life is a life of faith? It's a journey of faith. Go that way. Remember Abram, when God appeared to Abram? And he told him, go into a country where I'll show you. And he had to go home and tell that to Sarah. We're moving from her family. Where are we going? Well, I don't exactly know. Well, what do you mean? Well, God's going to kind of show us. And by the way, I respect Sarah. Because Sarah says, if God told you that, let's pack up and let's go. How about that? How about that? Think about that. But, you know, I'd get up every morning on that motorcycle trip, and you know what I'd do? I'd just take a look at the map, and I'd look at all the different directions, and I'd ask the Lord, where do you want me to head next? And, you know, how far did you go every day? Till I decided to stop. Okay? That's a great way to have a vacation. I need to write a letter of apology to my wife and my three daughters for it took me a long time to figure out how to do this. Now, we're going to learn something here, folks. You know, if you're not careful, we micromanage. Come on, we got our list. We got our accomplishments. We got our check boxes. We got this whole thing called life planned out, and we never even check in with headquarters to see whether or not we're going the right direction or not. I'm not against goals. I really mean that. I think that goals are important. But folks, listen to me. Let's not organize God out of our life. You think about that. They were given a direction. We saw his star in the east. Where are we going? That way. Well, how are we going to know we're going to find who we're looking for? God will show us. And folks, think about this. You know, best trips are the ones that I think you just get up every morning, and maybe the best way to live life is say, God, you know, what do you want me to accomplish today? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to see? You say, preacher, is the Bible kind of like an atlas? Well it kind of is, but I want to show you something that I think will help. Because life, folks, listen to me, and I think if you live a life of faith, you live a life that's an adventure. I really mean that. Because, you know, the Bible says this. It doesn't liken the Bible anywhere to a map, but it does say this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now think about that. A lamp unto my feet, so it's basically shown enough light so that you see not to stumble and you can see the next couple steps, enough to light the path some. But folks, you know, most of us want to come to God and say, Lord, I want you to lay out the next 10 years. I want to know where I'm going, what's going to happen, how long it's going to take, what I'm going to have to go through. That is not how God works in our life. If you think about this, folks, the Bible repeats four different times. In the scriptures, it repeats this, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1, 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3, 11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38, now the just shall live by faith. How important is faith, preacher, in this road trip of life? Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, folks, listen, I get it. We got our workaday job, but we've got a certain schedule we got to keep. But even within our structured life, be alert, because God could be leading you to one of those divine appointments. I mean, tomorrow you may accomplish, or God may want you to accomplish one of the most important things he puts you on this earth to do. Just live by faith. Live by faith. God, where do you want me to go today? So think about that. They sought a person instead of a place. They were given a direction instead of a map. Let me give you some other things here. Number three, this is so important. They asked for some help when they knew they were lost. Okay? I'm talking about your life being a road trip. Your life being a road trip. Verse 2 saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We're come to worship him. I mean, we're going the general direction. We saw his star. And by the way, by the context of the scripture, the star disappeared for a while, because right after they leave, they see the star again and they rejoice with exceeding joy. Now, let me just ask you an honest question. I think if you'll be honest in your heart, I will be. But along this road trip of life, have you ever felt like you're kind of lost? I mean, do you ever get in those stretches where you just really kind of feel lost? I mean, you know, Lord, I was heading towards what I thought you wanted me to do, and I thought in the right direction, and all of a sudden, I don't know what to do now, and I don't know where to go, and Lord, the star I was following, and the presence, and your guidance that I used to have so specifically, I can't seem to find. And folks, listen to me. On this road trip of life, we're all going to have times where we just kind of get lost. We kind of lose our way a little bit. What are we going to do in that moment? Now, I got to admire these wise men. They probably weren't Americans. How do you know? They stopped and asked for directions. Come on, guys. Isn't it hard for us to just stop and ask for directions? I know if I just keep driving the wrong way long enough, it'll turn, or the wrong way long enough, it'll turn into the right way. That usually doesn't happen. And, you know, it's a humbling thing. Boy, this is a good principle for us. You know, they consulted with the men of their day, by the way, who knew the Bible. By the way, where did they get their information? How did they get back on the right track? How did they end up knowing where to find the Christ child? If you look at the scriptures there, the Bible says in verse number 4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, wait a minute. How are they going to know this? Where are they going to find the answer? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You know what they did? They went into the Word of God and they sought out men who understood the Word of God. Now, folks, I won't go into the story because it's lengthy, but you know, right out of Bible college, me and my wife went to Brazil, Indiana to start a church, and I pastored there for 7 years in Brazil, Indiana, and there came a time where God shut that door, and there was a lengthy time, several months there, where I knew we were coming to the end of what we were supposed to do there, but I did not know what was next. And folks, I know what it is to sometimes just, Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know the direction I'm supposed to take. I want to give you some of the best advice I can give you. Folks, listen to me. Don't be so proud that you don't go to godly people who know this book to help give you counsel and guidance. Stop and ask for directions. Now think about this, folks. Don't go to people who are worldly or carnal for directions. Their lives give evidence that they're more lost than you are. Now think about this. Go to people who know the Bible. Go to those and ask them. Go and ask those who are on the right path themselves. Get biblical advice. Get godly direction. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't ever try to micromanage anybody's life, and I won't pester you at all. You know, if you don't want my advice, you don't want my opinion, and you don't want anything, it's fine. I've got plenty to do, I promise you. I got more than enough to keep me busy. But I'm going to tell you, if we took the young people that grew up here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church that had a strong relationship and connection with their parents and with their pastor and would listen to godly advice, and you compare where they're at right now to the young people who grew up and they got this know-it-all and they didn't want to listen to mom and dad and they wouldn't go ask the preacher because they knew what they wanted to do, you get those two groups. And if I was to bring them in front of this church and you looked at their lives, the best way to keep from getting off course is to be humble enough to realize there's some godly people, young people are your hymnody, that God's put into your life to help you along the way and help you stay on the right path. There was a time in Bible college where, in the middle of Bible college, I was struggling and I'd lost some credits and because of sickness, and I felt like I was where I was supposed to be and I was doing what I was supposed to do, but I felt like I was just treading water and getting nowhere. And thank God that I went to godly men for godly advice. I didn't quit. Do you hear me? I didn't quit. Well, I don't know what to do, so I'll just quit. What are you doing? I didn't quit. And I had those men tell me, Jerry, you know what? Sometimes in the middle of where we're trying to get to and trying to get to a goal and trying to get to a finish line, God sometimes just puts life on pause for a while. And don't miss what he's trying to teach you right now. There's things he's trying to teach you right now. And it changed my perspective, and it caused me to slow down, and it caused me to keep going, and it caused me eventually to get to my goal. Folks, listen to me. I'm just saying this. They asked for some help when they knew that they were lost. Now, let me just point this out quickly. Number four, they rejoiced as they went. Look at verse number 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I would just say this because I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's a personal decision. Your happiness is a personal decision. You ought to just decide to live your life with a rejoicing heart. And, you know, they weren't there yet. They didn't know if they'd even get there. But you know what? They began to rejoice. Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And I think one of the things that I've said as a pastor for 30 plus years here, at Blessed Oak Baptist Church for 30 plus years, I said it as a youth pastor, I've said it as a pastor, is this. If you watch me, you know what? I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the best I can to live the will of God. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have a good time while I'm doing it. I just decided I'm going to have a good time. If we've got to do something, we can have fun while we're doing it. You got to just decide it. There's joy, by the way, being in the will of God. Preacher, they seem like they're kind of lost and confused. Yeah, but they're happy. You know why? Because they're in God's will. God said, follow that star. Where's it going to go? I don't know, but we're happy. There's a joy in living a Bible directed life. There's joy in being led by the Holy Spirit. There's joy in living today and obeying what God tells me today and trusting him about tomorrow. Well, listen, just decide that you're going in 2026, have a rejoicing spirit. I can't wait to present our theme. I've given the calendars out. At least you can pick them up this morning. They're back there on the information desk. We're going to give you tools that I think will help you to live it out. Folks, listen to me. I think next year, if you'll kind of get into the program and if you'll kind of follow the pastor's leading, and by the way, I won't overburden you, but if you'll take a tool that I'm going to give you at the first of the year, every single person, I'm going to give you a tool, and I believe it will help you to learn what it is to live a spirit-filled life and be directed by God and stay on course. And have these moments, because number five, they experienced the thrill of achieving their goal. Folks, some of the most precious verses. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, verse 9, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, think about that moment. Folks, 800 miles, 40 days. Sometimes lost, sometimes confused, but always in the will of God and always wanting to do the right thing and humble enough to ask for directions. And then they got there and they have this moment. And when they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And by the way, folks, this is a moment that was part of their eternal destiny. It was a moment that's never been forgotten. It's a moment that God wrote down in the annals of Scripture. We still read about it today. And folks, let me say this. As you're taking the road trip of life, preacher, sometimes I'm discouraged. And sometimes I feel like I'm lost. And sometimes I'm not sure what's next. But rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on, get into this book every day and say, Lord, just give me some direction. Which way am I supposed to go? Don't be afraid to stop and say to a godly person, hey, I need a help. I need a little counsel. Could you share with me from the Bible some things? Because I feel like I'm kind of treading water right now. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And tap into that encouragement source. But they experienced the thrill of achieving their goal. I mean, I've sat there and I read that little portion of Scripture. I tried to picture it. I like reading the Bible and trying to watch it. And I don't want to just look at black words on white paper. I want to see what's happening. And God's given and gifted every single one of us an imagination where you can read the Bible and picture it in your mind. But I'm thinking of these, come on, weary, worn travelers. And here they walk in. And in that moment, it was worth it. Everything was worth it. And there's nothing like those thrilling, come on, moments and memories along the road trip of life, folks, where you know that you've accomplished the will of God. You know that you experienced, listen to me, the supernatural. Amen. Moments that you forever look back on. These are the things that encourage you to go forward. God brought me there. And yes, it was tedious. And for a while, it didn't seem like my journey made any sense. And it didn't seem like I was having any impact. But then I had this moment and I realized, God, I'm on course. And I believe your life, on the road trip of your life, there's these supernatural experiences and moments that you'll forever look back on and say, that is one of the reasons I believe that God put me on this planet and sent me on this journey. Those spiritual moments when you experience, can I just use the word, the divine, that God has led you to a place, that God has led you to a moment. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Let me just say this in closing. They listened to God and arrived safely home. When you read the very last verse there, folks, it says, and being warned of God in a dream. Come on, sometimes God warns us as we're on the road trip of life. Sometimes we kind of have it in our head to go a certain direction. He comes along and says, no, you don't go there. He did that to the Apostle Paul a couple different times. He said, I was determined to go here, but you know what? God led me here. Hey, you know what? Don't get so determined to do it your way that you miss his way. They listen to God. They listen to, you know what, folks? I want to say this. Along the road trip of life, there are the Herods. Okay? Herod was an evil man. Herod pretended to have the same goals that he had. But you know what he was really doing? He was using them to try to destroy the Christ child. Here the wise men are trying to find him, to worship him. And this guy says, hey, now when you find him, you let me know. Because I want to come worship him also. That's not what he wanted to do. And do you know, folks, in life you're going to be careful because not everybody, I'm going to say, not everybody pretends to be your friend is your friend. And not everybody that's giving you advice you ought to listen to. And there's going to be some times where God steps in and warns you very strongly. I know that they are pushing you this direction, but that's not my will for you. You go this direction. And you think about that. There were some dangers on their journey, but they listened to God. They heeded his warnings, and because they did so, they arrived safely home. And when I thought about that, I thought of the song. And I thought of the song, Jesus Led Me All the Way. It's not in our songbooks, but here's the verses. Someday, life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door, Jesus led me all the way. You know why? Because we made it about a person and not a place, a person and not a destination. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true that Jesus led me all the way. And hitherto my Lord has led. Today he guides each step I tread. And soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. This beautiful chorus, Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down, Jesus led me all the way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Well, folks, we're all on a road trip called life. I hope the truths of today will help you as you take your journey. Hey, seek a person instead of a place. Come on, find Jesus. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, accept him as your Savior today. If you are saved, make him your best friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? Don't worry about mapping out everything. That's not the way it works. God is going to show you direction. It's a walk of faith. One step at a time. One day at a time. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. If you get lost along the way, stop. Ask for a little help. Come on. God puts us in those places to humble us a little bit. And there's good people. There's good people that know the Bible that can help you. They rejoiced as they went, reassured by the Lord when they saw the star. They experienced the thrill of achieving their goal. And they listened to God and arrived safely home. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, everybody's life's different. Their journey's not my journey. And Lord, their path isn't mine. But I'm thankful that every single one of us can have a Savior that will help us along the way. Every Christian indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that as folks are taking the journey, dear God, there may be some that are a little bit discouraged, and maybe some that are saying, okay, Lord, what's next? And they're waiting and seeking your will. Lord, there may be here someone that's trying to live life without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, today that they would receive you so that they could have you along with them as they travel the road trip of life. Help us, Lord. We need you.